makes you feel better.
Mm-mm. You know what? I don't need it. You guys didn't give me my room full of white candles, so after that, I mean, does it matter, does it?
When did you ask for white candles?
When I became a star. Oh. And I only want crustless sandwiches. And that's it. Those are my only things.
That's what I thought she was going to do.
Hello.
Quiet as I ever talk.
It's Jamie Monroe.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
We were just talking about Kennedy. What is that serendipity thing y'all say all the time?
Synchronicity.
Serendipity.
Are you already sorry?
That's a good movie, though. Which is... Well, there's no time travel in that at all. Never mind.
In what?
Serendipity. The movie.
It is a good movie, though.
It is a good movie. I mean, they travel forward in time naturally.
Like the good Lord intended.
We travel forward in time for 60 minutes every hour.
That's beautiful. Well said. I don't have nothing like that on my screenshots.
Okay, so... Welcome to the Window Light Podcast for the Unexplained. This is episode 12, and this week we're going to be talking about time travel. First of all, an apology for not doing a recording last week. It was my birthday weekend, so we took some time off and instead put some things on the social mediums for everyone to enjoy looking at, and we will be doing what?
Put a lot of pictures of Gretchen up for people to admire.
See, if you're gonna do a little talking to each other, just go and do it out loud.
Because but we have a secret best friend language.
You're not twins.
We're like Nell and the other Nell.
But it's just whispering. It's not an actual different language. Did you say like Nell?
I don't actually remember what that movie was about, but
she did, right?
She had a twin, I think.
None of this is right.
They weren't friends at all.
So you may be asking why we're doing something on time travel, because it is an unexplained thing. Also, and that there are so many hypotheticals and so many theories, many different, what's the word I'm looking for? Time travel has been proven on paper.
Yeah, the concept is sound. Yeah.
Concept is sound, but as far as actual evidence thereof or the ability to hop into a time machine is currently not possible.
And I think what people can't agree on in the theories is how it would affect the movement of events. So like the theory of being able to travel through time is a little bit more concrete, but then actually how that would affect the timeline and probability and predestination and all that is what people can't agree on.
Correct. So in order to start wrapping my head around some of the time travel stuff, I did some Googling.
As one does.
Yeah.
When they start a...
Or you went back in time and asked Jeeves.
Or I did. Yes. I hopped on my Prodigy account and went to the message board. And, speaking of message boards, we'll probably get into the John Titor? Is it Titor?
I don't know.
The message board time traveler. We'll talk about it later. So anyway, if we're thinking about time travel, we're wanting to look at something evidence-based, right? Well, the first one that I ran across I thought was very interesting. The heading was Tiny Time Traveling Watch. Is anyone familiar with the Tiny Time Traveling Watch?
No,
I am not.
Are you all familiar with what a Swiss ring watch looks like?
No. You got a picture of it on your phone?
I do have a picture of it. It's pretty cute, and we'll put this in the show notes.
Maybe we do, and I just don't know what it's called. Oh, I feel like I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like they used to be popular in the...
Did they, like, find it in late 80s or something?
They did. They found it in Ding Ling Tomb.
Next to Lake Titicaca?
They found it in Ding Ling Tomb in China. A tomb from the Ming Dynasty. 400-year-old seal tomb. They went to remove the soil wrapped around a coffin, and suddenly a piece of rock dropped off and hit the ground with a metallic sound. We picked up the object and found it was a ring. After removing the covering soil and examining it further, we were shocked to see it was a watch. So, a working watch sealed inside a 400-year-old Ming Dynasty tomb. On the back of the watch, it says Swiss on the back of it. So we know it is a Swiss ring watch. This watch is now categorized as a upart or an out-of-place artifact. Other out-of-place artifacts are like...
for it.
It's like the main penny and the Nazca lines and the Antikythera mechanism. All things that cannot be explained and seem to not be in their proper place in the historic record.
Was there any kind of dating they could do on the watch? Like, you know, when they scrape a little piece off and put it in the little machine, it tells you what date it came from?
It does not say. So the theories were that there could have been tomb raiders that had come and left it there, had dropped it there, but the tomb was sealed. Some have thought that maybe rats had come through and carried the watch in and dropped it off. Ring watches were fashionable pieces of jewelry, and they were not popular until about 1780 in Europe.
Wow, that's earlier than I would have thought.
However, this is all academic, as the ring watches were not known to be in vogue during the Ming Dynasty, and it is and in its reported condition, the ring doesn't seem to have been a protected grave good. Indeed, it said the ring was on the outside of the coffin and fell away with a light touch.
So was the team working for the government, or were they like independent? I only ask that because if they needed more money for like the dig, you know, like in Jurassic Park, they always need more money and stuff.
It's a very interesting question.
Did they maybe do like it was a hoax so they could be like, look at this, and everybody would be all fascinated with it? But if it was government, then they wouldn't have necessarily needed any funding.
The dig was conducted by a team of archaeologists and journalists that were filming a documentary. So now that would certainly make the documentary more interesting.
Sure. Yeah, just playing devil's advocate.
Have that in there. The strange mystery of the tiny metal watch has remained officially unsolved. There's no clear evidence to prove it is a definite upart, nor enough facts to condemn it as a mere hoax. What is certain, however, is that it is a story which ignites the imagination. So, there you go. Either a time traveler came and dropped it off, or we've got another weird situation of things being where they shouldn't be.
So I do wonder if it doesn't, just because if, let's say, time travel was real and people have done it, obviously it's not a ton of people doing it, or we'd see a lot more evidence of that, wouldn't we? Unless it's like,
or so many people really are doing quiet. It, or so many people are doing it and constantly doing it and are so good at it that they're able to always go back and take away any traces. So we can have people time traveling all the time and always covering,
which makes me more nervous. I would rather it be random, like falling through the stones, like Outlander.
Yeah, and that watch in the tomb very much reminds me of something you'd read in an Outlander book. Like, cause there's always just like one tiny little thing out of place like that.
Yeah, and it's how like Claire knows that they're a time traveler as well, because like it, like she'll see like their smallpox scar on their arm, or like, I remember that one book where the he was Native American, he was indigenous, and he traveled back so he could try to like warn his ancestors about, you know, Europeans. And he was like whistling Yellow Submarine or something that only like somebody from that era would have known, you know? So like little things like that, or they have fillings like in the skull or something. And obviously they didn't have certain fillings back in the day.
For people that aren't aware of Outlander, what is this?
Pretty much the best book series in modern times, recent history.
Now a major TV show.
Oh, yeah. But yes, but basically the premise is...
But is it about time travel?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Like this lady named Claire, she's married and it's like post-World War II and they're English and they're like traveling to Scotland.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, you told me to say that. Or I asked about it. But you know, like you should have read it by now or...
Yeah,
seen,
this
seen the show, right?
This is your. I mean, I'm seated. I'm just helping the audience out who may not
sorry.
Have seen it.
If you, there might be more spoilers.
We'll put something in the show notes.
Well, we gotta give a spoiler to say what the show's about.
Yeah,
that is true. There is time travel in the show.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she falls through stones and she goes back like 200 years.
Oh wow!
And then she's like stuck there for a while, and then certain people can fall through the stones, and certain people can't.
It's genetic, you know.
Yeah.
But in that, that's one of the genres that where you have a time-traveling device. So some people have an ability, but you also have a device. So they have a genetic ability, but have to have one of the stones to do it.
Yeah.
So that's a device or an object or a focus point. Yeah. Or someone has an ability. How about time slips? Or time just happens to change around you for no reason, or you just happen to walk into a pocket that is a different time. Are either of you familiar with the Moberly-Jourdain incident?
You tell.
Well, it reminds me a lot of Outlander, mostly just due to the... It's old. In, mm-hmm. in Europe.
There were some rocks involved.
But it takes place at Versailles, which is in France.
Yeah,
that's what I hear.
It's a big castle.
So on August 10th.
City, castle,
city, museum, whatever.
It's a mall. But on August 10th, 1901, Charlotte Anne Moberly and Eleanor Jourdain went for a walk in the gardens of Versailles. As they strolled, the two women went down an empty lane searching for the Petit Trianon and Marie Antoinette's Hamlet. The two ended up lost in the woods, and they asked a pair of gardeners for directions. They walked past a woman and a girl in a cottage, a pair of guards wearing capes, and a man at a pavilion. They spoke to a gentleman with a strange accent and were scolded away from the chapel. The winding path took Moberly and Jourdain over a rustic bridge and through an arbor, then across a meadow with long grass. Finally, they reached a lady sitting on a terrace sketching. The entire walk struck both women as completely ordinary yet eerie. Moberly wrote that the stillness and oppressiveness was so unnatural, it was almost as though we were walking in a dream. It was only later the women wondered if they had slipped through time. Now, the two women did not see the exact same things. They experienced some different stuff during that time period. Both women described feeling of depression and anxiety beginning when they wandered down the path. Moberly was shocked to learn that Jourdain didn't see a woman sketching on the terrace, even though Moberly swore they sat only a few feet from her. They conducted research, as Moberly said, with the idea of disproving the suggestion that anything unusual had happened. So they saw a woman who wore an outfit that was made in 1789 for Marie Antoinette while they were there. Moberly heard Moberly heard a ghostly tune that dated to the 1780s, and again, we're in 1901. So Moberly returned to the Petit Trianon in January 1902. She found herself again lost in the woods. As she tried to find her way back, she heard faint music as a band not far off. She moved closer, catching the very light music with a good deal of repetition to it. She returned. She wrote down 12 bars of the music from memory. In 1907, Moberly showed the bars to a musical expert. He determined that they dated from about 1780. The grounds appeared completely different when the women visited again. So when they went back, it looked totally different from when they apparently time slipped. In many other incidents, they recalled seeing a simple plow that was dated to the 1780s, and that plow was no longer there in 1905 when they went back.
Hmm.
So it's like they definitely walked into a completely different
So were they just walking? You said they were just walking when that happened?
Yes, just walking through the woods.
What's interesting to me is that I think the thing that sticks out to me the most is not even so much like the old-timey clothes or the plow or whatever, because, you know, like Jamie was saying, when she first went to Hollywood Cemetery, there was people dressed up as Confederate soldiers, mm-hmm. and like she thought, you know, are they reenactors? Are they, you know, kind of joking? Are they ghosts? But... that they felt weird. Like they felt like oppressed, and also that it was like quiet, which it would be way quieter. Like if we went back in time 200 years, I think it would be super quiet from what we're used to.
It's interesting you said that. One of the skeptics has wondered if the women actually wandered onto a movie set and weren't aware of it.
I feel like you would have seen a camera. Like,
I would think so too.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I would think reenactors right out the gate too. No reason.
Yeah, but then that also doesn't explain the fact that there were people living there.
Yeah.
Or they saw people in houses and things that no longer were there when they went back again.
Do you, did it say that, is that why she went back the next year? Because she wanted to see if it was, like, if she had made it up or whatever?
Yep.
Did her friend go with her?
Her friend went back with her one time and didn't go the next time, I think, if I'm reading that right. I'm reading a very, summarized summary here.
It's a somewhat side note, but I don't know that I think that if I had, like, experienced that, me personally, I don't think I would have tried to go back, I think I would have been like, well, that was enough for me, you know? I mean, I know that there's all different types of folks in the world, but I think I'd have been...
not wanting to accidentally get... when that's
stuck. Yes.
That's always a common plot device in books and movies about time travel, too, is that they always go back and try to recreate it, and then they always end up getting stuck or something bad. You know?
And that's what would be, like, you know, sometimes visitors at work will say, oh, would you like to live back then? And I always say, absolutely not. But sometimes I'll say, well, you know, maybe for like 20 minutes it would be cool to see some stuff, and then I'd be like, back in the time machine, because it'd be pretty wretched to live, you know, in a different time. Really, no matter what time it was, and depending on who you are, it could be worse for you, but it would still be bad for anybody because nobody would know you. And so, and, like, you'd be this, like, weirdo. And
whether it's past or future.
Yes, right. You wouldn't fit in no matter what.
So I always thought a time slip was what you just said, not, like, a memory lapse.
Where you, like, slip into another time briefly and come back.
But you go, you travel through time by accident. So I always thought, like, Outlander and those type of things were time slips because it wasn't on purpose.
Right.
And Back to the Future, and, you know.
And Back to the Future, I mean, like, I guess
they were experimenting,
both. But Marty didn't go back initially on purpose. He was just trying to get away from the terrorists or whatever.
Libyans. Is it Libyans? I think it was. I think we're getting up to the one that you wanted to talk about anyway.
I don't know anything about it. Back to the Future. Family Guy version. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
But don't they go into the future and Back to the Future?
They do, but on purpose.
In the second one.
Oh, on purpose.
But on purpose.
They got to save Marty's kids.
It's about your kids, Marty. What? This concerns you too, Jennifer. You know.
Yeah. She's who's been recast for some reason.
Oh. And they redid the whole thing. Oh.
I don't like it. Mm-mm. Well... now again, I am not a expert on anything, really.
Sorry, me and Jamie got you. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're plenty expert for everyone.
Mm-hmm. But the Philadelphia Experiment. Oh. Anyone seen the movie?
No,
it's something else.
We watch the funny time travel movies.
Hot Tub Time Machine, such. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Bill and Ted's.
So the Philadelphia Experiment is it's been hot amongst conspiracy theorists for a very long time, especially because a gentleman by the name of Al Bielek, we'll call him Bielek. Al Bielek claims to have worked and been on the boat during the Philadelphia Experiment and got sent all over time,
like time cop.
Yes.
In the ship.
Yes.
All right.
Was he a time cop?
Maritime time cop.
He was compelled to join the Navy as a young man to fight the Nazis. Okay.
Young men did.
It was here that he took his first trip through time, and he was serving aboard the USS Eldridge in 1943.
Like an Eldridge horror?
Yes. Exactly.
Did you say
like that.
Horror.
So
both of those are good.
So the Philadelphia Experiment was, I guess, a group of scientists in the military were working to prove Einstein's unified field theory. by basically bending magnetic fields around the ship in order to sort of hide from enemy radar. That's the practical application. The other one was to try to prove this this theory. So what they ended up doing, though, was traveling to the year 2137.
No. Nothing good comes from that. Yeah, no. It's too far.
So he woke up in a hospital in 2137, and he was being treated for radiation injuries through a highly advanced series of treatments that relied on vibration and light. What's more, the entertainment in the hospital was solely educational and news programming. That's the only
like
choice.
He hasn't been through enough.
It was the only choice of entertainment.
Definitely
sorry, in the entire world.
Timeline.
Yes. The Earth had undergone rapid change. Florida disappeared except for the panhandle. The Great Lakes were just one lake. And Atlanta was now only 3 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. The United States was a relic. The central government was a thing of the past. Both Canada and the U.S. were gone, ruled over with a kind of locally enforced martial law.
Outrageous.
Yeah. World population had diminished greatly. So from there, Bilek says he was sent forward to the year 2749.
2740? Well, I mean, yes. Are there even any humans left?
Well, he stayed there for 2 years. Skynet. Before being transported back to 2137 to pick up his brother, because I guess he forgot him.
Oh, this one does.
That's the store.
In 2749, the world had adapted the technology to build mobile floating cities. Government of any kind was non-existent. Everything was run by an AI called the Synthetic Intelligence Computer System, and it worked telepathically.
Skynet.
So anyway, this is where we really start getting... This is where the important part happens. Okay. So at this point, Bilek is sent back from 2749 to 2137 to pick up his buddy. From there...
Or his brother.
Just his buddy. From there, the duo...
Did you lose him too?
Probably. But they were then transported to 1984, where they meet Dr. John von Neumann. He convinced the two men to travel back to their original time, 1943, to stop the Philadelphia experiment from ever happening. The two men agreed, went back, and got the job done.
They got the job done.
Top men.
Top men were working on it.
So what we're saying is,
government.
He stopped it from happening.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
That's one of the instances where you have control over events and you can stop them.
Yes.
But let's just say that they had figured it out with the Philadelphia experiment and they knew how to time travel. Even if somebody had gone back to fix it and been like, no, this ain't going to end up good for us. We're going to have a robot boss or whatever.
And then I have to send some Terminators back.
Right.
Take care
people
of Sarah
would still
Connor.
Find a way. Do you know what I mean? Like that yes. would still, people would still find a way to make that happen.
Well, what we got to keep in mind here is it's not quite exactly what happened. It was a mistake. Them getting sent to 2173.
Yeah, I'll say. God, it sounds terrible.
Where time travel did exist. It didn't exist. Like they couldn't use the thing they did with the boat. That was a total accident. They just happened to get sent somewhere where time travel was a thing. And they could go forward and backwards and wherever. Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable with the time travel purposely.
Well,
especially when it's government backed.
Yeah.
Which I know most things are that happen, but
not where you can mess up something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not quite done with this guy yet.
Oh.
So after his time in the Navy, and you know, he was able to prevent the Philadelphia
apocalypse,
all that stuff from even happening.
Got his brother, buddy, back. His brother's name,
brother,
buddy.
Could just be buddy, yeah. He found himself contracted out to various military contractors who slowly took the young electronics whiz into their confidence. They revealed to him that the U.S. military was actively involved in adapting alien technology and forwarding research on psychic operation. Soon after, Bilek was recruited by the Montauk Project.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds more sinister than the Philadelphia
experiment. Which is what they based Stranger Things, the TV show, off of.
Never seen it.
Well.
There's some things in it, some stuff.
Are they strange?
So.
Yeah.
Or than
regular things.
So he was given some super secret network of high-speed trains running under the country. He was given access to them, rather. He wasn't given the trains, but he had access to these underground super-fast trains.
His brother buddy had, yeah.
This allowed him to work his normal job during business hours and then moonlight in Montauk for the government. Of course, once the time tunnel was perfected, he could just teleport back and forth. So if you're unfamiliar with the whole Philadelphia experiment thing, which we all here clearly are, there's much more to the cover-up than Bielik's story. In fact, most people think that the original experiment idea came from a man called Carlos Allende, who wrote a series of particularly eloquent letters to writer Morris K. Jessup in 1956. His version of events cast Einstein as a bit more of a mad scientist type than history remembers. According to Allende, Einstein used the U.S. Navy to accomplish his own ends. The government itself reportedly had no clue that time travel experiments were being done, and Allende was all too happy to confess that the whole thing was a delusional hoax later in life.
Hey, I don't think Einstein would do that.
Probably not. But the actual... So I guess one day we can do one on the actual Philadelphia experiment, the things that actually happened of the... The goal was to make the ship invisible, mm-hmm. and allegedly they were able to make it invisible, because it showed up in Norfolk for a few seconds. People saw the ship just show up and then vanish again and then go back to where it was. The bad part was when that happened, all the crew on board either went crazy, vanished, or had become fused into the walls and the bulkheads.
You are kidding.
No. I mean, possibly. But, I mean, it's all been covered up, but the witness testimony...
Oh, that's really sad. For some reason, I thought they just got, like, sick in their stomach, and then they were cool, and then just were like, can you believe that happened? Flashy
thing, like on Men in Black.
Exactly.
Men in Black 3, time travel.
There is time travel mm-hmm. in Men in Black 3.
So for this invisibility device, you think they borrowed it from Wonder Woman?
Yep.
And they were like, if she can do it with an airplane, we can do it with a ship. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, no, not that button. Too late.
That's what I believe.
That's what we took from this story.
But that one weirds me out. That story is very...
That's very creepy.
Anytime someone comes out and goes public on something, and the only benefit they get is they get to show up to some conferences, but otherwise have their name completely discredited and look like a kook, I just kind of wonder what's the... Either
they're a kook.
Either they're actually crazy or it actually happened and they're trying to expose something.
Yeah,
very interesting. Like the ladies earlier who had this situation and then they wrote a book. Okay, maybe there were some profit-based motives in that.
Although they were ahead of their time, which is kind of cool. Yes. No pun intended.
You know? For 1901, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If like 1901 you're like, yeah, I got this great idea. We're going to trick everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty clever on their part.
So what about the Hadron Collider? Do you want to talk about the Hadron Collider?
Yeah, but you're going to have to tell us what it is.
The giant particle smasher?
Oh, maybe I don't want to hear about it.
The thing that helped them discover the God particle, the Higgs boson particle thing.
It's been looking for that for years.
Yes, it's very hard to find. But
it's worse than PIM particles.
But apparently there was some issue with the Hadron Collider early on. They couldn't get it to work or operate properly like it was supposed to. And it was theorized actually quite seriously because I think they plotted out on paper with math and science and numbers and solving for X that the reason the Hadron Collider wasn't working is that some time traveler was stopping it from working or something out there was happening to make it not work. Because of what dangerous thing it could... Because they thought this thing could create a mini sun and completely expand or create a tiny black hole and suck everything inside of it. Like, it could have been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess until they actually got it right, like, that's why it wasn't working. Because it was going to end the world if it didn't work. Weird, huh?
Yeah. I don't like it. And things that could end the world is a common... plot device for most time travel stories.
Mm-hmm.
Something is going to end humanity or the world, and that's why people have to travel through time, either forward or backward.
This spoiler alert, there's this movie called Tomorrow War, starring Harrison Ford.
No. Chris Pratt.
Chris.
He's Evans. Like, no.
It's, I think Chris it's Hemsworth.
Yeah, Jurassic World guy. Chris Pratt, right?
No, oh. It's Jeff Goldblum.
Well, he might be in it. I don't know.
Are you talking Star-Lord?
Yeah, the Star-Lord, exactly. But it only came out like last year, so everybody might not have seen it. The premise is that like it just starts and there's this guy, Chris Pratt, and he's married and he has a little girl.
He plays himself in the movie?
Yeah. Well, I can't remember everybody's. You know I'm not good at remembering. Well, you don't know this, but Jamie knows this about me. I remember no character names, hardly at all.
Mm-hmm. She's great in trivia.
Yeah. For other things I am. I have other talents. Anyways, the character that Chris Pratt is playing, him and his wife and his daughter, and they're like having a party, and I guess he's all sad because he didn't get some job. And then they're watching a soccer game, everybody. And then you see, like, on the soccer field, this big, like, light portal thing open up, and all these soldiers come out. Oh, well, see?
No, that part.
Oh, that part.
Then my mom turned it because she got bored. So
how did she get bored?
If it's...
Okay, so the soldiers that come through, they're, like, speaking to the crowd. They're speaking to the audience because it's, like, the World Cup and everybody's watching. And they're basically like, we're from the future. We're your kids or your grandkids. We came back to get you because there's aliens and we're dying and the human race is going to be extinct if y'all don't send people back or to the future to help us. So then they do this world draft and like everybody does this world draft and people just like randomly, like they would just decide. I think it's based on like if you're going to die in the near future and if you've already had the kids you're going to have. So like, for example, probably the three of us have finished making our families. And if we were going to die, like in the somewhat near future, we would be perfect to draft because we've already procreated and we're going to die anyways, right? So they would draft, they would pick based on that. And then they just like throw you in there. And then there's these horrible aliens, like horrible, like lots of appendages and like they throw spikes at you and like horrible teeth. They're terrible. Like the worst case scenario, that is what they are. And they don't know how to fight it, whatever. Mm. So then the Chris Pratt character, he like meets the colonel and it turns out to be his daughter. Uh-huh. And she like has all of the answers to fix it, but they're just dying too fast. They can't kill all these aliens. And then they like she gives him the serum and they can't save the future unless he goes back to the past with the serum. Anyway, It's a whole thing, but it's very interesting because it kind of connects all that stuff we were talking about with the government and like, I don't know if we talked about aliens, but we always talk about aliens a little bit.
Yeah, time travel is often mixed with alien threats.
Yes. Yeah. Like but it was like super scary. Yeah. But it was like, it almost seemed like in a way possible, but it also was like very like, you guys have to come save us kids, you know, us future grandkids. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Saving other generations is also...
Yeah. Yeah, because the world's going to be messed up, so we got to come back and tell everybody to fix it. Come help us. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was an interesting take on it, where they bring people from, like, their parents when they were young to come and save them. So, like, you're the same age as your kid or your grandkid in the future, trying to help save them.
So...
But, like, nobody's prepared, and, like, almost everybody died, you know.
So... So if they went back and they got a bunch of people on July 1st.
Sure.
And they got them and they brought them all there. Could they go back to June 30th and get them again?
Well, this is what they said. Yes. So that's what like people were saying, like go back even farther or whatever. And
just keep getting them over and over again.
But it got too confusing. It would get too confusing because you wouldn't be able...
Too confusing for the audience.
Too confusing for the audience. It was confusing. There was some stuff that I still don't get. I don't know that I still totally understand it. But... they barely were able to make the thread that they did to go back in the first place. And so it was a very precarious thread. Mm. And so they were only able to go back 30 years or 28 years or something like that. That was it.
Scarce and uncertain resources are a very good plot device to keep things from getting confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it turns out the aliens were already here and they were like frozen and then the damn ice caps melt. And that's how the aliens got out in the first place. So that's how they end up getting them. Because they weren't able to save in the future, so they had to bring the serum back and get the aliens that were buried before they even got
They're just like Encino unburied. Man, just frozen in the ice caps.
Yes.
It was just like Encino Man.
Sergio Bertolucci, the director for research and scientific computing at CERN, said the Titanic machine, LHC, may possibly create or discover previously unimagined scientific phenomena or unknown unknowns. For instance, an extra dimension. Out of this door might come something, or we might send something through it. It says here according to reports, the CERN scientists at the Large Hadron Collider began a series of experiments on November 1st, 2009, in preparation for the restarting of operations, when they shockingly discovered that their testing was distorting our Earth's magnetic field and had shot off a time wave toward the core of our planet that their tracking showed veered exactly toward the Sun Gate high in the Bolivian Andes Mountain. So I guess they had to turn that off real quick. So most unfortunately, however, was when the initial time wave spawned by the LHC erupted from the Sun Gate and headed out towards space above South America. It literally glanced into the path of an Iberworld Airbus A33-300 flown by Air Comet, which was ready to begin its descent into Santa Cruz, Bolivia, but then found itself instantly and mysteriously over the skies of Santa Cruz. So apparently this time wave went out, hit a plane, and moved it 5,500 miles in an instant. After this mysterious event, CERN scientists shut down the collider, blaming their failed experiment. They blamed their failed experiment on a bird dropping a piece of bread onto outdoor machinery. And what Sergio Bertolucci thinks is that this bird might have been sent back to stop that from happening.
Or they didn't think about it.
Was it a T-800?
It was a T-800, yes.
Even airports think about birds. They've got people that their job
just
is to
stick
go
a bubble on top of that thing.
Yeah, our net.
Some bird spikes.
Some bird spikes. So they can't build a nest over drop bread. Yeah, I don't think the bird was sent back. I think they just didn't plan for the bird. I think they thought they were so damn smart and clever. Dang it. Cursed.
Not good. Not good.
Edit it out.
Well, there's another interesting coincidence here. We brought up John Titter a minute ago.
Yeah, we did.
He said, my comments about the CERN lab are in reference to particle accelerators in general and other questions that have come up in the past. The major physics breakthrough for controlled gravity distortion does not happen at CERN in your future. Heck, we haven't even touched on Z-field compression yet.
Well, that's, I can't even believe it.
So embarrassing, really.
There's nothing worse than heck. A smart aleck time traveler from the future.
Well, I mean, you know, do something useful like go and get the sports almanac for the next 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be useful.
That's how you get all the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or lose it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
There was a part two.
Well, there are four different genres of time travel.
Hmm.
And again, Gretchen and I, most of our knowledge comes from movies and books.
Yeah.
Instead of actual time travel events like all those ones you just described. But, you know, they could be based on real life. We don't have the accurate data to prove whether or not.
Yeah, of course. Know?
So there is what we've discussed a little bit about, the traveling forward in time. There's a traveling back in time. And then one of the genres that people seem to agree on does count as time travel is the being able to see into the future. So prophecies and having your thoughts travel forward in time is also considered to be time travel.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you can predict what's going to happen accurately, which could go back to the fact that these people actually somehow traveled forward in time, maybe not just their thoughts, and that's coming back to them, or they're seeing through a dimensional window. Like, who knows what actually is happening there, but...
Like when we talked about with ghosts, like, maybe it's not, you know, like people think they've had some other life, but really it's just like their ancestors or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. if you have a flash of the future, I don't know, is it people that come traveling after you that you're... Yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's also the theory of the infinite shared consciousness that is everything. So when they said, what is it then in the beginning? What
firmament?
Was it? God.
I was hoping we'd bring that up again.
How does it go? And the word was God? Is that what it like?
And the bird God is the word.
God is the word, and he spoke things into existence and like spoke everything into existence, which right. mean everything that can happen, would happen, should happen, or could happen, did all happen at once.
Right.
And now we have a certain ability to see whatever it is we're experiencing at this certain time. But however, the collective consciousness or God is still always out there.
Right.
And some people are able to tap into things that have not happened yet or see things that happen a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is, it is a form of time travel, but it's like your receivers is what's traveling through and finding something that's not what you're sharing with others at this
time.
And
it seems like a lot of like characters from books or movies that have that ability, they always say like it's not a definite thing. Like this is a possibility.
There's the ability to change it, like Alice's visions in Twilight.
Yes.
She sees all these infinite possibilities and based on your decision, they change.
Right. And sometimes some are more clear than others because you're more likely to do that thing or take that path or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite, and it's interesting, like in different time periods, how people viewed prophecy and how, like, you know, especially like in ancient times, people like really believed that prophecy was, that people were capable of
it. Yes, there's certain special people who can see that.
And had my favorite story always when I was little was Cassandra, you know, prophesying the fall of Troy, but nobody would believe her.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wasn't like someone special, or they just...
I think she was cursed.
Couldn't imagine such a thing.
Yeah, she was cursed to never be believed. Like, she could always see what was going to happen, but nobody would ever believe her.
Yeah, that would be a curse.
Mm-hmm.
That would be very frustrating. But I do like that idea, like Coy was saying, like, if... And I know everybody doesn't believe this, but if we all have the same creator, then we all have something in common, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lots of things in common, but...
We're all connected.
So we could tap into all of those things if we chose to.
Yeah. And I think even a lot of people who are polytheistic still believe that there's a connecting consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's just different aspects of it, and that's why there's multiple deities in a lot of religions.
Mm-hmm.
But most people who believe in theology believe there's some kind of greater consciousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, even the anomalies that happened with twins could help explain that. Twins sending
or good friends.
Yes. Good friends.
Brother buddies.
Yes.
I would never leave her behind in time.
No. We wouldn't be like, oops, I traveled to 2037. Where's my buddy?
Yeah. I feel like we would have talked about it and been together when we decided.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you at least have gone back and prevented that mistake from ever happening.
No,
yeah,
I think we would just jump off a bridge and be like,
"Yeah,
we shouldn't have done this. We ought not to have done this."
Thelma and Louise right off the bridge.
What if it's so far in the future that it doesn't work because the car would just hover there over the
They just have to jump out of the car.
Oh, no.
You go first. No, you.
Some kind of Jetson situation.
We'll go together.
The fourth genre, which are time loops.
Yo, yeah.
So being stuck in the repeating.
That sounds horrible too.
Time
that actually
over
sounds
and over
like
and over again.
Like your Groundhog Days.
Yeah, the greatest movie probably ever made about time loops. I had to add that in.
Is that the one where he says stop the damn hammering? No, that's Scrooge.
That's also someone, amazing. And
please.
You could argue that Scrooge is also a form of time travel.
Yes,
because
Jamie was saying that the other day. She was talking about Christmas Carol. And then, of course, we thought of Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
But he sees the past, the future.
And has the ability to change the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that guy from New York Dolls drives him in his taxi to the past.
And he says, go back to Jersey, you moron.
That part
I'm
certainly
only four
happens.
Years old. Is it a choo-choo train?
It's me. Go out and buy a choo-choo. But yeah, Groundhog Day. So in a lot of time loops, you have the ability to get yourself out of it. You just have to figure out whatever the catch is to get yourself out of the time loop. Like your own actions are usually what would take you out of it. So
that's
that happens with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
When he's trying to stop Dormammu.
Yeah. Dormammu?
Dormama?
But what about Scott Bakula? Quantum Leap.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Was that a great show?
He's great stuck show. In time in a different time until he sets right what once went wrong. Mm-hmm. So the next leap can be the leap home.
That's right. Siggy.
But didn't he? Well, he was from the future and they sent him back on purpose, but then he got stuck doing different missions or whatever, right?
Yeah. Ziggy couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, well, Ziggy's not.
So getting stuck or repeating, I guess, would have the same kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The machine just kept sending him
different places. Yeah. But at least they knew where he was. You know, he wasn't like lost or whatever. Yeah. On that barge y'all were talking about.
Yeah, Al could find him because he had his device.
Al. Mm-hmm. It was always like on the Blitz, you know, he was always smacking it against his hand. Yes. what a great show.
It was. Let's just start a Quantum Leap podcast. We'll just break down each episode.
Okay, I'm for it.
There was some real tough episodes.
Mm-hmm. There was some social commentary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many things.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened.
Nothing comes to mind, but I remember him being real good.
But he was sent to fix things that went wrong.
And he was able to fix it. So when you were talking about earlier about the butterfly effect, though, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, part of me thinks any one little thing that changed would change everything. And the other part of me thinks it's on a path. And it might go down a different path, but it's still going to end up at the same destination no matter what.
Yeah, because a lot of time travel has predestination in it, that no matter how much you try to change the past, mm-hmm. it's never going to change. And like sometimes you end up accidentally causing what you were trying to stop from happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about, this sounds real silly, but I was thinking about the Sleeping Beauty story because it's old, right? It's like 500 years old. But Maleficent gives that like prophecy basically, like on this baby's 16th birthday, she's gonna
mm-hmm.
prick her finger on the spindle of a spinning wheel and die. And so their answer was to get rid of all spinning wheels and mm-hmm. have her go live with the fairies in the woods or whatever. But all that ended up happening. So all of their planning and like trying to prevent it didn't matter anyway, because it was almost like it was destiny for it to happen.
Which again kind of gives even more, if that's something that can give credibility to anything at all, but like if everything already is and it is, mm-hmm. then predestination would have to exist because all possibilities have already been accounted for.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's no way to do anything that wasn't already planned.
Yeah, it just might be a different way to get right. to it. Or they knew you were going to do all of those things and that's how you got to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the
they
is.
That makes my brain hurt.
Makes my brain hurt, too.
Well, speaking of that, and about going back to fix things, can I talk to you about John Titor real quick?
Yeah.
Mr. Titor. It's probably Titor. Titor? I don't know.
I'm going to go with Titor because it's hilarious.
Yeah, we've been only saying hilarious names tonight, so.
He was from 2036.
That didn't sound too bad.
He was an American military man based in Tampa, Florida. Working for the government.
Or was Florida gone by then?
Is Florida gone by 2036?
He was part of the time travel initiative. And he posted on message boards his story. And he detailed the extent of...
They still got message boards?
Maybe I should take it a step back since you have no frame of reference. In 1998, a radio show host got a fax from Mr. Titor. And in 2000, Mr. Titor started posting on the message board for this radio show.
Okay.
So he was from 2036, but now he's here in 2020. Well, he's there in 20,000.
Wait. Are we talking 1988? Are we talking 20,000?
So when does Mr. Titor live?
He is from 2036. Okay. And he went back to 2000.
Okay. And do we know how old he was in 2036?
Yeah, did he stop Y2K?
He was a young military man. Would you wait? I'll get to the
It was going to be way
story.
Worse. Okay.
He claimed he had been selected for the project due to his paternal heritage because his father had worked for IBM in the 70s and had worked to create the IBM 5100, an early computer model. Titor said that in the year 2036, he had been selected to travel back to 75 to obtain an IBM 5100, which would help future scientists in decoding a computer program.
Hmm.
His reasons for stopping over in 2000 were in part personal, he claimed. In addition to locating photographs and speaking to some family members, he also wanted to serve a warning.
I don't like the warnings. Oh, I'm already scared.
His later posts on the message board began to make mention of a wild and an uncertain future for America, one that was dark and foreboding. No. He described a second civil war in the United States that would result in the fracturing of the country into five autonomous regions. Washington, D.C. and Jacksonville, Florida would be targeted and taken out by the enemy, leaving Omaha, Nebraska as the new U.S. capital. The Civil War would be long, beginning in 2004 and ending in 2015 with a brief but intense World War III, which would lead to the destruction of the global environment and infrastructure. He also warned fellow forum posters about the increasing threat of, I'll never be able to pronounce this, we'll just say a disease. The threat of a disease, a fatal incurable prion disease that causes rapid degeneration of the nervous system and is transmitted through beef products. As for other people's predictions of the future, John Titor confirmed one theory, the Everett Wheeler model of quantum physics, also known as the many worlds theory. He said that the correct explanation of the universe. There were in fact multiple timelines and scenarios, all of which happened in the past. In other words, Schrodinger was right about his cat.
And his coffin.
Soon, however, John Titor's tales began to be unraveled. His validity was called into question, and when it was revealed that no record of anyone named John Titor or Titor family ever existed. Within a year or so, it also became clear that his predictions had gone wrong as well, since there was no civil war, no unrest after the 2004 presidential election. People on the forum began to point out similarities in his predictions and similarities in some time travel movies, the biggest one being he mentions a 1967 Chevrolet Corvette as being the home to his miraculous time machine, echoing the DeLorean plot in Back to the Future. Titor claimed that his mission was to create a timeline in which the Second Civil War and World War III didn't happen, and that the reason no one had ever heard of them before is that he had been successful. Eventually, his claims were debunked, as his predictions never came true. Though, of course, had he succeeded in his plan, as he'd said, they never would have, would they?
No.
And how very similar is some of that stuff? The disease that we've had, the civil unrest, the war that's going on, little variations thereof, and maybe he went back and fixed enough that, or maybe, well that was 2015, it's 10 years later, maybe he only delayed it.
Maybe, well, like we just said, maybe it's destiny, some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Just a different version from what he remembers.
But did his mother accidentally fall in love with him?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
She kept.
Now it seems more plausible. She kept his
pants on her hope chest.
Calvin Klein.
Well, that was a fun episode that we've gone down talking about some unexplainable weirdness with time travel. I think this is one of those high-level ones where we'll dig in real deep into just the Back to the Future trilogy at some point.
Yeah.
To talk real deeply. And, of course, we've got to do one on the Montauk Project. We got one on the Hadron Collider that has to be done. So, high-level.
High-level.
Just getting it out there.
They're terrific.
Again, thank you very much for listening. Please go on to the iTunes or wherever you listen to things at and rate and review us.
Mm-hmm. Or go back in time and do it last week.
You should have already done it. Write to us at windowlightpodcast@protonmail.com. Send us your stories and ideas and suggestions. Find us on the Facebooks and the Instagrams. And we'll...
Had an itch.
And we'll see you
very
next
dainty.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.